Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast from the Belle Provence. As always, I am your delightful host, Paul Fillion, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
You are also delightful, Antoine, just so you know.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm surviving.
Okay. It's
Nothing big. It's just a cold, and we're starting a bit later than usual our recording. So
a bit, like 3 hours later.
So nothing major. I'll just be happy to get in my bed once we're done.
Well, we'll try to keep it concise and on topic. Which brings me to my next point. We don't really have a topic for this week. So it's going to be a hobby-sode. Yay!
Yay!
So what are you working on? I guess we should be talking about... Did you play any games last week, Antoine?
No. We can talk about what we're working on now. Okay. I'm good with that. I'm trying to get their name right. Yes, Major Luna from Aristea.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you had the Aristea.
I was working on her when we recorded the last show for
Guilds.
Yeah, I was painting the skin, and I'm repainting the skin.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
I was not happy with the color. She's from Akislam in Infinity.
Okay, so kind of Middle Eastern looking.
Yeah, and my skin tone was too yellow in the end, and it looked more Asian than Middle Eastern. So I'm working on that.
I can kind of relate. I'm painting Arena Rex right now, and my gladiators are all very fair skinned.
Yeah, I had the same problem doing mine. they're a bit too pale, I find, when I painted mine.
But then I remembered that I don't care, and I found it much easier to deal with.
Yeah. If I painted Major Luna like fair-skinned instead of yellow-skinned, I don't think it would have bugged me as much. But as I put the effort to try to do a different skin tone, and it turned out wrong, that bugged me.
Yeah, I understand.
I was just trying to go for like a bit tanner, but it didn't work, and it looked weird. So
one of my Ritter X models started off tanned, but I kept highlighting, and next thing I know, they weren't tanned anymore. I was like, oh. Oh, well, I guess that's that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just not meant to be.
Nope. So, which one are you working on?
That's a good question.
Because you're working on Arinarex on your side, right? You're still working on that, yeah?
Yeah. I want to say her name might be, like, Vitatrix or something. I don't know. She's Ludus Magnus. She has little wings on her helmet that broke off. So she no longer has wings on her helmet. She's got a shield and a sword. And a very long piece of chainmail that dangles from her crotch that is like blowing in the wind. Because I guess there's a super strong wind in that arena.
Chain in the wind.
I don't really know if you could have a chainmail crotch piece blowing in the wind. But
as you said... There's a really strong wind.
Well, also, I find it amusing that, in gladiatorial combat, where it's all about speed and agility and stuff, we have an extra 4 feet of chainmail dangling from our crotch. I guess she's just that good. She wants to give the opponents a handicap, you know?
Yeah.
Make them feel they have a chance. No. We'll call it stylistic license.
We're playing miniatures games and not historical ones, so I think,
Hold on, are you trying to tell me this gladiatorial combat game is not historically accurate? There were no Native Americans fighting in ancient Rome?
Or Gorgons?
Well, you cannot confirm or deny the Gorgon.
Well, I can confirm it for sure. I could deny it.
I mean, there are times my wife gives me a look and I swear to God she's trying to turn me to stone.
So. Yeah.
Not saying my wife is a Gorgon, but... I've mentioned before she doesn't listen to the show, right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. Because I want people to get the wrong idea. There's no way I'd be this brave if she did. I'm only this ballsy when there's absolutely no chance she knows.
How are you progressing on your Erna Rex guys?
Well,
you started them like yesterday or something.
Yeah, I got three almost done. I will be honest, I don't think I'm going to hit... I wanted to have my cohort of five done by Saturday night. Due to some unforeseen circumstances, I doubt that'll happen. I may have bitten off more than I can chew. And I committed to other stuff as well. So
that happens. Like, doing them in what amounts to be about 4 days was a crazy go. For they're not exactly small and they're pretty detailed, so.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, these would not be display pieces, right? These are just tabletop.
No, but.
And the thing is, let's also not forget that I have Fridays off. So that would have given me a day to paint.
Yeah, but knowing you, that Friday will be filled with something else.
That is also true.
You don't have a choice and something else will come up.
Yeah, like work will call me 45 times? Yeah.
Yep, yep.
A fair point, Antoine, a fair point.
It's a good thing you're off. They can call you straight home.
They know where I am.
Yeah, and they know you won't be working or doing something else important, so.
Yeah. And the best part is they don't even have to pay me.
Yeah. Really keep their questions from the week and pile them up for Friday.
You know, it sometimes feels like they do that. I'm not gonna lie. I personally like the getting phone calls from people to tell me all the stuff I did wrong. That wasn't really my job in the first place, but I decided to help, and I did, you know. No. That's life. Do the best you can. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I, you know, this game, Arena Rex, really interested me because the models caught my eye during their Kickstarter. But at the time, I just couldn't justify it. I was waiting for other Kickstarters to come in, and they were way past due. And I just didn't want to put money into another game that wasn't going to materialize and that no one was going to play.
And you probably didn't have the same group. I don't think we were painting together already by that time. Or we were just starting, maybe?
Well, I think we were because I was painting with François.
Oh, and he had a preview model. I remember that. That's true.
All right, so I was super interested in the models, but it was like, well, I've got so many games, so many models, you know, and no one I know is going to play this. And then afterwards, you know, months later, I see François painting one of them. I'm like, oh, I guess someone I know was going to play it. And then it turned out that a bunch of us had interests, so we went to Captain Con and Adepticon, whatever, and we bought models whenever we were at a con. And I super look forward to painting them. Until I started painting them.
They've let you down?
Well, and I don't want to be hard on the creators of the game. I think the models are very nice. They're super dynamic. I think what likely happened is I got like casts that were done late in the mold's life. So, and again, I'm working on mostly female characters at the moment. So the details are smaller, because the models are true scale, right? So the men are bigger and bulkier than the women. And the women are all super dynamically posed, and in resin, standing on their tippy toes. So those are all going to break off. Like, the models have a serious ton of flex. Like, I can just see the ankles all snapping off these guys. And they've got bad cases of, like, club foot, where the details just did not cast on their feet. So I don't even know what I'm looking at. It makes it hard to paint. And it's more than a little depressing. Because these models are not cheap, right? They're $20 US a piece. So that's nearly $30 Canadian per model. It makes it a little harsh.
At that price, you would expect probably a better quality.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I'm trying not to be overly harsh on them. I don't think the models are bad by any means, just not as clean as I would have hoped. But by the same token, I think at that price, I have a right to have fairly high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a small indie company. I don't know how often they change their molds. And the one person I've met from the company, not only does he have a cool name, he's just a really nice guy. So I don't mind supporting or helping to support Walker and his company. Yeah. At least I think he's one of the partners, isn't he? Do you know? Because you met Walker.
Yeah, well, I met him at the Captain Gun.
Yeah.
He seemed to be pretty much in the know, so.
Yeah, if he's not one of the direct owners or partners, he's at least very senior there, and like you say, he seemed to have a very firm grasp of what was coming out when and why. And he seemed to also have like a bit of development knowledge, so I don't know if he was part of the rules development or anyway. All that to say, I don't think the models are irredeemable, but
they could be better.
Yeah, at least the ones I've worked on.
I didn't have as many problems with mine. So
actually I say that, but you know, I also got one of the male models I'm working on at Mycon.
Yeah.
He's a big gladiator. And he is a very clean cast. So I really think it's something to do with the females and the small details. Just not casting well.
Entirely possible.
And I'm not saying that as an excuse. I'm just, or that's acceptable. Yeah. It's just the way it is. The other thing that's weird is I thought the bases were plastic, so I didn't wash them. But now I'm not so sure they're not some sort of weird resin. Because I had a heck of a time to try to get paint to stick to the bases. Well, it kept sliding off and beating like there was release agent on it. That's right.
Yeah, I don't remember. And I've been modifying mines anyway, so I glued body on them on top. I don't remember washing them, but the primer sticked, so can't comment. Speaking of painting, what else did you paint this week? Well, you started those, and that's already a lot.
I'm trying to think. I'm sure I painted something else. I worked a bit on my blacksmiths. That's a good question. I get the feeling there was something else, and I don't remember what it was. I painted all the bases for my blacksmiths. I know that. All the Minecraft Studio bases. And I got very close to finishing a couple more of them. Those are more tough models.
You're having a rough streaks of rough models right now.
Well, they're just not particularly well cast. I think they're still fine, as far as board game miniatures go. I think that's really the problem, is that I when it comes to Guild Ball now, we have to compare it to board game miniatures, not resin or metals. And as a miniature hobbyist, that's really tough, right? It's not what we're used to.
And that's not what we are looking for.
Yeah, it's not really what we bought into, right?
Into the game. We bought into the game for the nice miniatures.
Well, okay, let's be honest about that. Their first releases were not particularly impressive. They had some nice models, but for the most part, they had a lot of like less nice stuff too, right? We bought into it for the gameplay. And then the miniatures really improved. Like they had a lot of... They had interesting themes.
Yeah, I must say I've been lucky. I don't think the Butchers are bad at all. And I bought the game based on that guild.
Yeah, I don't think... Okay, let me... The miniatures varied a lot, right? If I think about my fishermen, it's because I've been painting Union a lot lately, right?
Yeah.
So if I look at my fishermen, I think my fishermen are quite nice. You're right. If I look at the Union, there are some nice models in there. There are some really what the hell guys models in there. So, you know, if you look at the original Masons with the scale issues, like
yep.
The range was super inconsistent at launch.
I agree. I was really talking about I bought in the game for the guild I bought.
Right.
And that guild, I don't see any stinker in their line.
No, I'll give you that.
The only stinker is the pig, and it came like a year or two after anyway. So.
And once you cut off its horns and all its weirdness...
Yeah, it still remains a gimp pig, and I still find it weird, but...
Well...
It's better.
Yeah, but let's be honest, Salt has a gimp suit too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Most of at least in the artwork. The model only has a collar, at least.
Yeah.
But the artwork you're looking at, you're like, what?
Yeah. I agree.
And for anyone not catching the gimp suit reference, go watch Pulp Fiction. You should have left the gimp asleep. It's funny because I've been trying to paint to a bit of a higher standard lately for all my stuff. So to go
and you keep back. Going back to stuff you don't want to paint to a higher standard when you choose your miniatures.
Well, no, it's just I gotta get this done, right?
Yeah.
So I'm doing this my fast and furious style, and it's not gonna look bad by any means, but it just feels different. And it certainly, I've had more progress. So I'm now got the internal struggle of, is it really worth it? Like, for me anyway, like, how much better is the better painted stuff? And
for the difference in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends how many you have to paint and what you are painting.
And why, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm painting this to play at an event. Oh, God. Sorry. I've got a fluorescent red explosion here. By the way, fluorescent red from Model Air is actually, like, fluorescent orange, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't know why they're lying to us and calling it red.
Isn't that, like, Kador red that was... More Salmon Orange-y.
Yep. Kator Red Highlight.
Yeah, something like that.
Yep. That is correct, sir. This is very similar to that color. I'm actually mixing it with another red here. Some Reaper Master Series paint. The HD series, so it doesn't exist anymore, the high-density one, mix it with their Brilliant Red to make my highlight color for my reds. Hopefully I don't like it too much, because I cannot replace that Master Series paint.
Yeah.
There is nothing worse than that, when you find a color, oh, I love this color, and you find it's discontinued, you can never get it again. But you only find out after you've used it on everything. I've done that before. That made me very sad.
I've moved on from the skin to the rest of the miniature, and it's at that point that I realized that, yeah, it's a board game plastic mini. The details are not great. They look good. The Aristea models are good, but for a painting purpose. I saw yesterday that they have a collector's edition box where you can get the minis in metal.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the quite impressive difference in price, I'm a bit sad. I get the plastic one instead. It would have been nicer to paint the metal ones. But then the expansions are all in plastic and they wouldn't fit. So I should just power through and
leave what it about at that. The? Don't they often do like limited edition models for the expansions in resin or metal or something?
The metal models that are out are mostly for just the basic models up to now. The models from the base box. They might have done some for the other miniatures, but I think as of yet, it's mostly for the base box and not the, they're up to 4 expansions now with 4 model each. Yeah, something like that. So. Apart from painting, have you had any games in the last weeks?
You know, just the usual. Played some Guild Ball.
The use.
Yeah. There's been some, I won't go into a ton of detail, but there's been some interesting changes to how organized play is done. The game uses a chess clock, and they've changed how the clock works for the overtime period. So we wanted to get some of that tested. And also, we streamed the game, so we wanted to test our mics we'd gotten for the streaming setup. And they work pretty well. Give them a bit of a trial by fire.
Did you record a game, too? I don't remember.
No, we didn't record. Well, I don't. Maybe Steve recorded it. I know we certainly streamed it live, and it's on Twitch for now.
Yeah, until it's to it auto-erase.
Yeah. I don't know how long the stuff is good for on Twitch. I don't remember.
And it depends on our plan and other stuff like that. So. I know when I last checked, our channel was empty, so...
Yeah, I think it, I want to say it's 7 days.
Okay, it's not much then.
maybe as much as 2 weeks, but it's not a huge duration. Mind you, in the program we're using to record the stream, we could have it export to YouTube, on the fly or whatever, if we want to keep stuff for prosperity.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a test game too. Steve was playing with an unpainted faction, which we don't usually do for the YouTube shows.
This is true. This is true. But it was an unpainted plastic faction, though, right? Because he's playing now, so technically it's tournament legal.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it meet our personal standards.
Fair enough. Our exacting standards.
It's not like we have that big of a backlog of shows to really settle that backlog.
Yes, this is true. We do not have a giant backlog of shows.
So, Guild Ball, and that's it?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think I got anything else in. Now, aside from that, I suppose it's only kind of quasi-hobby related. I booked my events for Captain Con.
Oh yeah, and you went overboard and booked a ton of stuff.
Well,
for how you usually book your cons, at least.
Yes. Usually, I'm very light on activities at cons because I'm a social butterfly and I prefer to spend most of my time walking around chit-chatting with people. I will have very little time to be doing that this event. So I'm going to go to everything I signed up for. Well, what did I sign up for? Hold on. Let me think about this. I got a Guild Ball event on the Friday.
Isn't it two?
Well, I got a... During the day, I have a... I think it's a three-round tournament qualifier thing. We'll see how far I go. Just because it's three rounds doesn't mean I have to play three rounds, right? And then in the evening that night, I have a another Guild Ball casual event for fun. So that should be interesting. And then the following day, I've got the Arena Rex tournament. And something else. Oh, I think I signed up for a Kill Team event, too. And then I think on the Friday, I signed up for Relic Knights.
Sunday.
Sunday.
That's a lot of games you have not played yet.
Well, I feel it's important to give the other people a chance, right?
I know you've been a player by proxy for RNRX a year ago.
Yes, exactly. So I've almost got a whole game under my belt. Almost.
But Kill Team and Relic Knight, you've not played yet, right?
No. That's okay, Antoine. I've got you.
Yeah, but you only got 2 weeks to.
What's your point?
I'll do my best, but.
Cue Rocky training montage music.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. I mean, Kill Team is like 7 models. How hard could it be? And it's a GW game.
And it's just a modification of 40K, so it's not that big of a change. RNRX and Relic Knights are bigger rule set to get in. Well, bigger. RNRX rules are not that big, it's just that it's a new system. That's all.
Yeah. It's a different the curve, the learning curve will be bigger, I think is what you mean.
Yeah.
And I am willing to accept that that analysis. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. Especially Relic Knights, if it's like last year, most people will be playing their first game of second edition anyway.
No, it should be their second game of second edition because they played last year, right?
No, last year was the beta, so their rule changed. The rule changed.
Oh, since, right.
Yeah. So most of the stuff is similar, but there was some change.
You know what's funny is I still have models to pay for that, too. That's not done either.
Hmm. Do you have models for Guild Ball to paint, or you're going to bring one of your already painted
guilds? No. I'm bringing Union. So.
Okay.
Whoa there. There's limits to even my insanity.
That's all for you?
Sorry. I got distracted because I'm doing one of those things where I don't wait for a previous coat of paint to dry properly.
Mm.
And I'm painting with the Super 10 paints. So I proceed to lift the previous layer.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep. Really well.
Okay, we've all done it. More than we care to admit. Except for probably Yom.
Why? He's never done it, or you won't admit it?
Well, he'll tell you that he's heard about other people who've done it. But yeah, that he can't imagine doing it for reals.
Okay.
Poor Yom. We paint Yom as such a monster.
Well, we've had many people take his side anyway, so it's not like you need the help.
That's true. I think Andrew used to take his side. Andrew probably still takes his side.
No, Andrew never took his side.
Sorry, right. It's Mark.
That was the total inverse.
That's right. Sorry, Andrew. I maligned you there for a second, if you still listen. Oh, so much hobby, so little time, Antoine.
Yeah. Like you said, you have your Friday off. Yeah. Hopefully it pays out, but I don't think it will.
Why start now, right?
Yeah, why start now? On my side, I've not painted, well, I painted only one mini this week. I painted to a bit higher level, so it took more time than I planned. It was the mini crate alternate Pharaoh Brigand Warlord. So, Miss Piggy.
That's an awesome model.
Yeah, and I was painting her following the scheme I used for Elga, which is one of my favorite Pharaoh models. So I had Elga in front working on the Brigand Warlord. I just couldn't butcher or go fast and like be so drastic a change compared to Elga. So I put more time on her than I thought, than I planned, but...
Oh, but she came out so nicely.
Yeah. I'm happy with the result, for sure, so...
Well, you should be.
And,
I thought she looked awesome.
I put more time than I thought, but I was still a lot faster than when I did Elga. Like, she's not to Elga level, but she looks nice, and I see the more miniatures I paint that... I got better and faster, especially for all the glazing and the layering.
Well, it's only normal, right?
Yep.
This hobby is 9/10 repetition. Like that's the secret to a lot of this hobby.
Really happy with her. The rest was just cleaning some mold lines here and there on other stuff, prepping Major Luna and the. Just a bit of skin and tabard on a Gilball model that's been sitting on my painting table for months now, I think.
Oh,
Veteran Gutter, yeah. Yeah, because I prepped her before the event we were supposed to do in December. So... at the end of November, I started prepping her, and we're at the end of January, so months, yeah, months.
Time flies, eh?
Yeah. But, oh, yeah, and I painted the Miss Piggy, partly because I was painting her with the Riker's Iron stream. It's a Twitch streamer from Ormeta. That I watch once in a while. And he was painting her in a paint-along, in his paint-along series. He works on mini crates models every Monday, if I remember correctly. So I started working on her. And at the same time, there's a War Machine and Ords League running right now. Or campaign. Locally. And Games of Company of Irons counts in. So, I wanted to have a cool warlord warbus for my new warband, and she was ready just in time for the game I had last night. We're playing one of the linked scenarios from last year's league, where you play a Company of Iron game first, and the result modifies your following game of War Machine and Ords. So, we played the first scenario yesterday with François, another member of the campaign. And it was fun. It was a city-fight game for War Machine. Like, even for Company of Iron, there was 9 buildings.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw pictures. So I was like,
and six other piece of terrain, 6 or 7 other piece of terrain on 30 by 30. That's pretty filled.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be an urban setting. It's during the fall of Lael, or the retaking of Lael. I don't remember which part it's exactly set in the league fluff. So, yeah, we were taking control of a town market. And the next game, we're just expanding the map out of the around the market. So it's going to be a urban game, but in War Machine. So terrain, instead of being no closer than 4 inches, or I don't remember what, it's maxed 3 inches, so, and we need to place something like 14 obstructions or houses and buildings and other stuff after that, everywhere on the board. So it's going to be filled. So we won't have charge lanes. It's going to be a big mess, but it's going to be fun.
I really should try to play some Complete Iron at some point.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's really thematic. It's fun because you can get stuff out that you don't really use in your war machine games that can be good there. It's also a really small point size, so you could build our forces specific to that format too, like thematic forces from the fluff, stuff that's not exactly in the game. So lots of options.
That's what, 25 points?
Yeah, 20 or 25. And no war casters, so it doesn't add their warjack or war beast points. So it's really just 20 or 25 points.
Nothing bigger than a medium base, right?
The rule changed a bit. So there are some bigger stuff now. Most artillery pieces have rules now. And I think because the Kedor couldn't use light jacks, they have allowed the Berserker chassis. But it's a big investment. They're like 10 points, something like that. So 10 points in a 25 points list for something that's not supported by focus and you don't have a warcaster spells to help it. It's rough.
We'll see. How many of them do you see, right?
Yeah.
Probably none.
But it's a really tough piece compared to everything else that's available in that game, though. So,
let's just say that's what you're paying for, right?
Yep. So you need to compensate elsewhere for your movement and mobility. Because depending on your scenario, you might be stuck if you only have one big piece. It's going to be hard to run for flags or objective. But if it's a take and hold situation, it's better.
Yeah, I can see that. It's gone. I had a train of thought. I had a train of thought before I looked at my model. I saw my model. I completely forgot what my train of thought was.
Yeah, that happens.
Yep.
Yeah. So I had that game last night, and at the same time that you streamed your Guild Ball game, I had a game with Chris, a game of Guild Ball 2, where we played at Steve, on the secret bunker, and played my navigators, just received navigators.
So. And how do you find them?
Well, we go in more detail about that on the Guilds of the North show. That's going to be probably raising early next week or something like that. But I like them. They're a good change compared to my butchers. I'm a bit sad that I find they need to do more melee than I would have liked. I was really hoping for a purely goal-oriented team.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I could force myself to play them more goal-oriented, modify my selection of models, like, say, use a Siren or Angel to push myself in that direction instead of another model that might be a beater. But that's going to be testing. I only played one game outside of the beta when we had the previous information because of the media program, so.
Yeah, the thing is, you don't want to cripple yourself either, right? So you gotta.
No.
So yeah, the game is supposed to be fun for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fun. And I want to do goals. So it's not like I don't want to. I'm forcing myself to do, like, even my butchers, I play with a goal oriented mine. Most of my game, I get at least one goal, if not two, with Butchers, where they are usually the takeout team. So.
You and your goal-oriented Butchers.
No, versatility. That's what I like in my team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not for anything that I went for Masons. I have my temporary teams while waiting for the Navigators. But that's more Guild Ball talk.
Yes, it is. Yes. But
yeah.
On the other hand, it's most of what we play it nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, most of what I play.
Yeah, I was looking at my game sheets, and I don't have any game repetition. Like December, I think I played 6 games, and that was 6 different games.
All right, you madman.
That's what I do. So, before we fall asleep, I'll just go over a couple of news items, and I think we're going to call it done.
The end of the hobby episode.
Yeah, works for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. First one, this is not a release as much as an information. Malifaux 3rd edition is coming. They have been in working on it for a while. It was in a closed beta. I think it has been in closed beta for months. But last week they opened the beta. So it's now open. You just have to register on their forum. And you can look at all the new rules, new cards, everything. And they are just looking for fine-tuning. So if you are interested in Malifaux, it's a good time to take a look at that.
Have you looked at it yet?
I've not read the new rules. I've just looked at some of the blog posts they've made about some of the change. One of the things that I liked, they have modified the crew constructions rules. So in Malifaux, like, usually you pick a guild, and after that you could use mostly anything you want in that guild. Now they are forcing a bit more of the thematic element into your guild crew selection. So you pick a keyword, and everything will be keyword classified now. It was a bit before, but now it's going to be more important. And everything you take, I think it's based on your leader, either your master or your... Is it the henchman? No. There's a second level of model that can be a leader. I don't remember what the exact term is for that. But
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So all the models you take must be from the same guild, for sure. But they need to share one of his keyword. If they don't, you can still take them, but they cost extra soulstones.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so I like that. It's one of the things I disliked a bit about Malifaux is was you could take just anything. So if you add a giant collection, you could do crazy list building, but it didn't. There was nothing that reinforced nothing like a team force or something like that to give you an incentive to play stuff that should fit thematically. So personally, I really like that that change. And there was other stuff, but it's interesting. And I like the new cards. They're a bit simpler. There are so many abilities in Malifaux that it's not bad that they streamlined it a bit. I don't think they went overboard. They already did with the second edition streamlined, so I think it's just a cleanup right now.
Well, second edition, they removed most of the innate abilities in people, right? Like, you can buy them back. But you no longer had models with 18 million abilities out of the gate.
Yeah, you could get them, but you had to pay points for the upgrades.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've not seen if upgrades are still there. I assume they are.
I would think they would have to be, wouldn't they?
Yeah. It's either that or reinstate them into the the models, so...
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants that. Because the biggest problem with that was try to demo that game. Like, Mark 1 demoing was a nightmare. Because the cards were scary.
Yeah, for sure.
Look at those cards. Oh my god, what's going on?
Yeah, it was impressive the first time you looked at one. Especially your master. There was so many abilities.
Yeah.
So many actions.
Well, I remember I have one of the boxes I had was the Twin Victoria box, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they were all mercenary, essentially. And there was the pugilist in there, whose name escapes me at the moment. But his card, he had a trigger on every single suit.
Oh, that's so many abilities on the card.
Well, that's just it, right? So you get this card and you're like, I have no idea what's going on. But this is a lot for me to digest right now.
Yeah, already the 2.0 cards are a lot better. And I think the 3.0 cards, from what I've seen, are even simpler. So.
Yeah, well, 2.0, like I said, they greatly streamlined what was on the card, which made things a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah. It's a lot less searching while you're playing and trying to, and less rules you can forget.
And Malfo had some, you know. That was the first skirmish game I ever played, like, that was truly skirmish, that I felt had a lot of, like, really unique and dynamic ways to win. Because the fact that you always randomly roll up your objectives and your sub-objectives and your whatever, your hidden objective, like, every game felt different.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, nothing else had ever done something like that. At least something I'd seen. I might be wrong, but I'd never encountered anything like that before. So it was super unique.
Yeah, it was great. So that was the first thing I wanted to mention. Second one, it's a new Ice Elemental by Mantic. It's part of their Vanguard line for the Northern Alliance. It's just a single model, but he looks nice. It's all crystallized, and the paint job on him is cool. I really like that model. Would make a great ice golem for Malifaux, I find. He's more bulky. It's not the exact same look, but...
Well, I think the revised ice golem was a lot more bulky. Like, the original one I have, because I have Arcanus as well, he doesn't look bulky at all, right?
Oh, no, no. He's super slim and tall. Yeah, the original one, yeah. Yeah, but that model looks cool.
Yeah, I remember a lot of the original models were really bizarre from Alpha.
Yes.
The Ice Gammon looked like they were dancing.
Small Ice Demons. I'm sure they were having fun and dancing on this, though.
Well, that's what it certainly looked like they were doing. I don't know if you remember them.
Yeah.
With their one little leg kicked out in front of them.
It was one of the crew I was looking at getting before settling on the Ortegas.
Ah, the Ortegas. An excellent choice.
Yeah. And the last item, it's Culminar Nut. They are releasing a new faction for A Song of Ice and Fire, the miniature game. So they are releasing the Free Folks, and they're releasing them at the end of this week. So I think it's going to be Friday the 25th, so just after we release the show. And the way they release it, it's a new starter box, but the starter box includes like a ton of miniatures. The box comes with 44 miniatures, your movement trays, but also everything you need to play the game. So you don't need to get the other starter to get the game. You will get all your cards and even the rule book and some terrain in that starter box. And it's a starter set for $85. $85 US.
Yeah. Can't go wrong at that price.
No. And that's the official price. Most stores or online sellers will have it for even less than that. So
yeah, for sure.
It's pretty amazing the content they have in those books. And at the same time that this box is releasing, they are also releasing a unit of Spear Wives. Like the starter comes with multiple type of units, but that one is not part of what you can get in the starter, but it's releasing at the same time. So if you want that unit also, it's going to be available as a separate box.
Let me guess, it's the Wives of the Warriors?
Maybe. It would make sense. It's female with spears. I'm not fluent in A Song of Ice and Fire. I've never read a book or watched any part of the show. So,
well, I would argue you're not missing much, but I know I'm in the minority.
You've had this discussion with Yom before, so.
Yeah. That was funny.
The miniatures for the Free Folks are really nice. They're going to be plastic, and I've heard that the plastic quality on the Song of Ice and Fire miniatures is pretty high. So,
yeah, well, if you watch or follow Jim Wapple at all, he's been painting their stuff.
Unenough.
Well, Jim puts out a lot of stuff, so it's hard to filter. Right? Yeah. You can't pay attention to all of it because it's kind of overwhelming. But, so he's been painting their stuff. And he told me that the models were quite good. He was pretty impressed. Because I think the models are by Dark Sword.
Are they?
Well, he seemed to imply that Dark Sword is behind it.
I know Dark Sword have the...
The license, right?
The license.
So I think the...
But the style doesn't seem the same, though. Might have been made with the, in conjunction with Dark Souls about the license, but
Dark Sword, yeah.
Yeah, the minis don't look the same at all.
No, I know the minis look different. I think the art direction was different for the game.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. But, finding little tiny things that need to be painted, little buckles, little microscopic buckles.
Yeah. So that covers it all for the releases and information I wanted to share this week.
So you're saying we're done?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that seems surprisingly fast. I don't know how I feel about this.
We've been recording for an hour, so even for an episode, it's not that quick.
Well, okay then.
Time goes fast when we're painting.
That is true. Probably why I wish I was painting at work every day. All right, Antoine. Well, as always, it has been a delight, and I will see you hopefully this weekend to play some games.
Yes, we will try Arena Rex at least.
That's the hope.
And we'll see for the rest after that.
Okay, sounds good.
See you, Paul, and bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Broken Prism Reviews, a YouTube channel bringing you game reviews in three parts: unboxing, express gameplay, and a quick rundown of what makes the game stand out. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.